Right, I'm Scott.
I'm Jen.
And this is Mash Movies.
And Mash Movies.
And today we're going to go see Thor Ragnarok.
What's a Ragnarok?
Ragnarok is the Norse Armageddon kind of thing. It's the end of everything, and it's like you start the cycle over again. If you read that book by Neil Gaiman that you bought me for my birthday, you'd know this.
Oh my gosh, very excited.
Yeah.
And why are we watching Thor, babe?
It's the whole thing of this podcast is supposed to be must-see films, and I don't think this is going to be a must-see film.
But it's a Marvel must-see.
Well, I don't know.
I know that it's Marvel.
Yeah.
I rock.
So the last Thor movie, I think we saw that together. That wasn't that great. It was a bit average.
I loved it. What's his name?
Thor.
Yeah.
Chris Hemsworth.
Ooh, Chris Hemsworth. Delish. It was a good film.
What, the Thor 2?
I don't know. What's the one? It wasn't the Greenwich one.
No, that was the Greenwich one.
Oh, no, I liked that one.
Did you?
Yeah. I thought
it was a bit flat.
There's the one before that. Have I seen that as well? I must have seen both of them.
Yeah, there's the Thor where he's in the desert. The little town in the desert, and then he meets Natalie Portman for the first time.
Yeah.
That one's really good.
Cool. Well, yeah. I just like all of Chris Hemsworth.
You like all of Chris Hemsworth?
Into.
There's nothing about Chris Hemsworth you don't like.
Yeah, that's very true.
He's hunky. I could see that.
Awesome.
So I don't think this is not going to be up there with all the, you know, other films that we're supposed to be watching, like The Godfathers and the Apocalypse Nows and that
12
sort
Angry
of
Men.
And 12 Angry Men.
Amazing film.
But it's directed by, I'm going to try and pronounce his name correctly, Taika Waititi. But he directed What We Do in the Shadows, that vampire film.
Yeah, fabulous.
And also Hunt for the Wilder People.
Oh, and I like both of those. Oh, yeah. I'm really excited.
Yeah.
This is going to be fun.
And what I'm most excited about is Hulk is in this.
Okay.
Which was, if you saw the first Avengers film, like one of the best parts of the film was that Hulk and Thor had a little bromance thing going on. And they would just fight each other, and there's going to be a bit more of that. But yeah, just to reiterate, I don't think this is going to be a must-see film. It's going to be hopefully a quite good Marvel film.
Let's go watch a quite good Marvel film with some lovely Chris.
So much has happened since I last saw you. I lost my hammer like yesterday, so that's still pretty fresh.
And then I went on a journey of self-discovery, where I met you.
Okay, and we're back. We've just seen Thor Ragnarok. So, Jen, give me a quick review. Should people go and see this film or not?
Oh my goodness gracious me. It was pure entertainment. It was fabulous. Yes, go and see.
So there you go. Yeah. Go and watch Thor Ragnarok.
Could you give a bit of context of the film, though? Because I couldn't remember what happened, like, in the previous one. So I was like...
Okay, so this one follows on most directly from Avengers Age of Ultron. At the end of that, Thor says he's going to go look for the Infinity Stones because some of these things have shown up, and that's...
I've seen this film, haven't I?
Yeah, we watched it together.
Okay, yeah.
And then there's a bunch of other, like, coloured glowing stones that appear
there's in... There's a purple one.
One, and there's a red one that was in Thor 2.
Yeah, I can't remember. Anyway, so he's looking for the weird stones.
Yeah, because he had some bad dreams in that film as well that he keeps talking about in this film.
Right, about the Ragnarok.
Ragnarok.
Yeah, about the Ragnarok.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then also, Hulk, he's flying away in a plane. He's stolen the plane, and he's kind of, he thinks it's best for everybody if he just goes away and lives on his own somewhere. So at the end of Age of Ultron, he is just flying away to to an island in the Pacific, I think.
Like,
but basically, Thor and Hulk haven't been seen since
Age of Ultron. Right.
Yeah. Fabulous. And there's some lines in the Civil War about, where's Thor and Hulk? Or I wouldn't know if I'd misplaced a couple of nukes.
Right. Okay. No. Oh, hilarious.
Yeah, hilarious. Now you're caught up.
Yeah, I am caught up. It was hilarious from the start, which was fantastic, absolutely hilarious. It looked brilliant. The actors, there were so many great people in it. I'm never good with names, but there was loads of people I knew. Like, everybody was in it, and it was amazing. Yeah, it looked incredible from, like, the costumes, the whole look of the entire thing, and everything was justified, which I really, really liked, because sometimes, like with Blade Runner, the first one, I felt like there were so many visual aspects of that that weren't justified, whereas in this, I felt it was all really justified, which I'll explain later when we do the non-spoilers bit, so I really loved that. And if you love Chris
Hemsworth.
Hemsworth, as I do, it does not disappoint in any way. It is spectacular. Oh my goodness.
Are you getting at how hot he is again?
Well, kind of, but also he's just fabulous. He's so good and so funny. It's so just fabulous. And just, oh, lovely. Like, so, yeah, it was just excellent. And the woman, whose name is...
Tessa Thompson?
Oh, she was fantastic. She was so... And Kate Blanchett. I was going to say Kathy something.
No, Kate Blanchett.
Kate Blanchett, I know things.
Is it Blanchett or Blanchett?
Well, I'm not the person to ask, babe.
I don't know.
But, like, they were both incredible. And what I really loved about both of their characters as well is their costumes weren't sexualized. They weren't sexualized at all. They were just, like, badasses doing their thing.
Mm.
So, yeah. What did you think?
I thought it was really funny.
Yeah.
I think Marvel films get a lot of love because there's often quite a bit of humour in them, but this one was more sort of overtly a comedy.
Yeah.
With some, just happens to be set in space and features a god and a man who turns into a rage monster.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I thought it was good. And there were some, like, really amazing visuals in there. There's some shots in there that were kind of, they look like, I want to say heavy metal, but there's a kind of a style that was in it, that was big in the 80s, I think, where it's all like kind of guns and muscles and, you know, oil and just fire. And the thing that it makes me think of just now is the cover to Bat Out of Hell, Meatloaf's album.
Oh yeah, I can see what you're saying.
So there's that shot at the beginning where Thor is flying away from Surtur, and he's got it's a dragon. He's just had a fight with Surtur, and then he's flying away. He's got his hammer. And a dragon is on his tail, and everything's like, looks like hell, and looks amazing.
Yeah, it looks incredible. I've got to say, though, as well, I didn't realise basically his hammer can make him do anything at the start. I was like,
that what do you mean? What's anything?
Well, like, he can fly with it, he can, like, hold down a dragon's face with it, he can. Sorry, not to go into spoilers.
These aren't spoilers. Anybody who's seen a Thor film knows these are things that the hammer can do.
No, he's done all of that before.
And,
like, there was something else that it was doing, and I was like, it's a bloody hammer. Like, it's not, you know, you hammer things with it. And I know there's a magical hammer, but it's like, it shouldn't be able to be a shield against fire. It should just be a hammer. You hit people with it.
It's a magic hammer.
It's magically strong, is what I feel.
Yeah, no, that's the whole thing. I think it's forged from the heart of a dying star. Weighs as much as a star or something like this. And Thor is the only one who can pick it up. There's a whole thing in the first Avengers film where Thor and Hulk are having a fight.
Yeah.
And Thor throws the hammer at Hulk. It falls to the floor. And then Hulk gets really frustrated because he can't pick it up. He can't even budge it.
Okay.
And then in the second Avengers film, there's that scene where they sat around a table drinking. And they're all like, oh yeah, I bet I can lift the hammer. And then they all have a go at it. And none of them can touch it. Captain America can nudge it a little bit because he's really
Captain
worthy.
Because he's worthy.
Because he's a little... Because he's pure of heart or whatever it is.
Oh, he's such a nerd.
Not getting into this. Anyway, getting sidetracked. The hammer is magic.
Pure of heart.
And it will weigh people down.
Amazing. That was the other thing that I was going to say that was really good. This director, whose name is...
I'm going to say Taika Waititi.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so I've discovered I love, like, all of the films that I know of his that I've seen are fantastic.
Oh yeah, so we looked him up on Wikipedia after we came out of this film because we were raving. He has a little part in the film. He voices a stone guy called Korg.
So good! So good!
And it turns out he did Eagle versus Shark as well, which I didn't know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you've seen that and you love it.
Yeah, super love it. But the thing that I was going to say that was really good is so the Marvel films have a tendency to now we're going to do this ridiculous thing. Now we're going to pick up a city. Now we're going to, you know, and it just gets more and more ridiculous. I felt with this one, it didn't get that ridiculous. Like, I think I believed, like, the story and the world and the characters enough that I was totally taken in and totally taken along with the entire thing. I never was like, oh, now this is a bit ridiculous. It sets it up really well. And yeah, it is a complete cartoon. It is brilliant. It's just entertaining. It's funny. The story's really good. The script is really good. The people in it are really good. And it's just lovely. Like, it's really enjoyable to watch. And it's not like spoon-fed blockbuster, so much information all the time. I didn't feel like that kind of sense of sensory overload at all with it, because I really totally bought in to what it was selling me, basically. And because it was so funny from the off as well, it was just like, oh, we're just in for a really jolly nice time.
Well, I guess, well, to cap off the non-spoilery bit, it's a really good time at the cinema and you should totally go and see it.
Yeah, it's amazing. Yeah. Love it.
So let rip.
Okay, so what I was going to say was, at the end, right, so they nick what's his face is party ship. What's his name?
Jeff Goldblum.
Oh, he's so fabulous.
He's called the Grandmaster.
He was fantastic. He was just an absolute delight. It was delightful to watch him in it.
If you've ever seen Jeff Goldblum in a film, just imagine Jeff Goldblum playing Jeff Goldblum.
Like, as he does in everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, he was just fantastic. He was just like that with nice hair and like fancy painted nails. So they nick the party ship, and at the end, the ship has crashed and they're all fighting and they're all doing their thing. And basically the fireworks start going off again from the ship, because obviously it's a party ship. Of course it's going to have fireworks going off. And it just adds to the fighting and stuff. And it's like, it does look immensely cool and really fun, but it's justified by the fact that they've stolen like the party ship and they've already seen that it lets off fireworks and stuff, rather than it just being this additional cool thing.
What do you think of all the cameos?
Really brilliant. Lots of people I clearly recognise.
Yeah. I mean, stop listening to this if you want to. I thought it was a really cool, fun surprise. I didn't know about half the people who popped up in there.
Yeah.
And it's not all the typical Marvel lot either. So there's
Matt Damon.
Yeah. Then you have Sam Neill, famous for Jurassic Park. And Hunt for the Wilder People, actually. There's the connection.
Yeah, good point.
What did you think of the Hulk stuff?
Yes. So Hulk. Yeah, I loved it. I loved that the dynamic between those two, I thought it was fantastic. And I thought the fight scene was really fun.
The one in the arena, really good.
What did you think of the Hulk thing?
Yeah, I thought it was good. I like that he can talk now, so that gives him a little bit more of a character.
What, does he not talk in the other films?
No, he can't. I think he says a word here and there.
Oh, okay.
But now he's suddenly learned how to... Well, I guess it's been 2 years for him, so he's learned how to talk in that time, because he hasn't been Banner since then.
Yeah.
I mean... But yeah, I thought it was good. I thought he was a little bit underused. Like, once you get to that point where they've realised they're friends again, and then Thor gets Hulk onto his side, you know, gets him involved in the whole plan to escape the planet and then go and rescue Asgard and stuff, Hulk just turns into this kind of, oh, there's that big wolf and there's that big demon, we need something to fight them, just throw Hulk at it.
Yeah, although, oh my gosh, that was like the comedy genius of that shot was fantastic. Do you know what I'm talking about with that? So we're on spoilers, so it's fine. So he jumps out of the plane saying like, oh, you'll know who I am when I jump out of the plane as Banner.
Yeah, he's trying to do this big cool hero moment where he's gonna fall out of the plane and turn into the Hulk.
Yeah, and he just lands in this crumpled heap of pain. And it's just, oh my god, the entire cinema was like roaring with laughter. The things that I was gonna say that I was a bit like, because I do have to believe something all the way through for me to be like totally on board, and for this film I was really like believing all the stuff. One thing though, when he had the electrocution thing in his neck, right,
like this is how Thor gets captured, somebody implants a thing on his neck and then if they press a button then he gets electrocuted.
So that's like the premise of that, but he has that in his neck for ages before he even tries to take it out, and I'm like, is Thor just take it out? And also, like, oh, it's too painful for you to take out. You're, like, the god of thunder or whatever. Just pull it out. Don't be a wimp. So that made me feel a little bit like, come on, you could just take that out. Or at least try, because for ages you didn't even bother.
Yeah, I suppose he could have just electrocuted it or whatever, but then...
He could have at least tried, maybe it had
countermeasures for if you try and tamper with it.
Yeah, but it didn't have any
countermeasures. He was having a nightmare trying to pull it out, wouldn't he?
Yeah, but it was just a bit like, just hurts a bit.
Yeah.
And the other thing that I was a bit like, oh, you could have just let that be okay. What's the main woman called, the Valkyrie woman?
Tessa Thompson.
So there's a point where she jumps out of the plane to get rid of the other people and is just being really badass and cool and just like, yeah, I've just got this down. Mm. It's not even, you know, not even a big deal that she's a woman. It's just like, yeah, I can just do this.
Yeah.
And then Thor goes and helps her. And I just kind of feel like with that bit, didn't need to happen. Like, you could have just let her just do that, because I felt like this is an awesome opportunity for showing that she is just as capable and is just as awesome by just letting her go and do that, and he can steer the ship and fine. But yeah, then he goes and helps, and I feel like it's like that kind of undermines that moment for me, and I was just a bit disappointed with it.
I disagree with that, because she jumps out, she's already done loads of work getting Banner onto Thor's ship, and then she only starts getting out and jumping onto other people's ship when they mess her ship up so bad that she basically has to, and then she's, you know, doing all this awesome work just tearing these guys down and stuff, and then Thor is watching all this happen. Like, Banner can't chip in because he's just a normal dude and he doesn't want to turn into the Hulk right now, so like, it would be weird if Thor just sat there and was like, oh yeah, no, good job, yeah, keep doing what you're doing, when he doesn't have anything else to do. So he jumps out and it's like, it's just two warriors, it's just two Asgardians fighting and just tearing down all these ships, and it gets the job done faster.
Yeah, but it's like, he's already driving the ship, so it's like, to be honest, it's such a nitpicky thing to bring up, because I think actually in terms of gender roles, etc.,
yeah,
it's actually a really good film for promoting female like leads and stuff as well, and also the fact that they are not sexualized at all, they are just really good at what they do, and it's not even commented on that they're good at what they do. At one point there's like that comment made by Thor.
Oh, but that's very tongue-in-cheek.
Yeah, and that's making fun of like gender equality, etc. So it's kind of like that's very well done, is what I'm saying.
Yeah. So Tessa Thompson plays a Valkyrie. I think she's called Valkyrie. She's called Collective 149 or something. But then Thor sees her and recognizes her as part of this elite group of warriors that used to be on Asgard called the Valkyries. And he makes this joke about, oh, I wanted to be one of you until, like, when I was a kid, until I found out that, you know, you're all girls. Not that matters or whatever. And it's kind of, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, because it's like making fun of, and that's a really I really liked the way they did that. That was really good.
Yeah.
But the rest of the film is not even commented on. It's just taken for granted that both her and Kate Blanchett are just going to be awesome at what they do. So I really liked that about it. It was just that one opportunity that they could have just, you know, allowed her to show her competency even more.
Yeah.
Rather than like, oh, let's have, you know,
a couple of things that bugged me a little bit. So all the trailers and stuff, they totally gave away that Hulk was in this film and stuff. So I wanted to know what happened between the end of Avengers 2 and this film that he got to this planet.
Cool, yeah.
And I don't know if I missed something, I think all the explanation was there was a video of Hulk in the plane that he was on at the end of Avengers 2 just going, ah, like holding on, like something's happening. And that was it.
Yeah, well, he just lands there because that's where all the Lost Stuff ends up.
No, but he wasn't going to another planet. He was on Earth and he was going to another part of Earth.
Oh, okay.
He was going to somewhere in the Pacific.
Ah.
And then it was just kind of, wormhole, obviously. And then he just ends up on his trash planet.
Yeah, oh, fair enough. But do you know what, right, so this is where not knowing anything about film and not watching trailers really works for you, because I think I kind of knew because you told me, but I forgot that he was in it, because I have attention span with like a gnat. So I kind of didn't know he was going to be there until they went, you know, with the green clouds of smoke, and I was like, oh, it's going to be Hulk, this is going to be awesome! So it was really like, and I've actually even seen the clip where they say it. I've just loved it. And I was gonna say Luke. I don't mean that. What do I mean? I mean Loki.
Oh right, that's another thing I've got a problem with.
Yeah, tell me.
So Thor brings it up at one point, like, all this has happened because of you. Cate Blanchett has come back because you stripped Odin of all his powers, stranded him on Earth, and now Asgard is in trouble. Mm-hmm. At some point during the film, he decides, like, oh, that's probably fine. It leads to Odin is dead. Asgard gets absolutely wiped out. And all the people are stranded on a ship in space looking for a new home. And then the two of them make up by the end of it. They're like, oh, I love you, brother. And if you were here, I'd hug you. And they make that joke about whether Loki's doing one of his apparitions. And it turns out, oh, he's not, because they love each other again. But it's like, no.
Yeah.
Loki just basically killed your dad and destroyed your home.
Do you know what, though? Like, I know what you're saying, but, right, because I did think this. You know when he comes off the ship and starts fighting again for the goodies? Like, he comes and he's like, oh, I'm your saviour, blah, 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 because he wants the recognition or whatever. Mm. I was like, you know, he's so flip floppy in what he does all the time. I think that's a great word, term to use.
Flip floppy.
But I'm like, well, that's the whole point of his character, though. Like, he's the god of mischief and will just mess things up all the time.
Yeah, no, but at some point he has to, like, there's got to be a line that he can cross where Thor is like, no, I don't want anything to do with you. You're imprisoned or you're going to get executed or whatever because you're just causing too much trouble. And if it's not, you killed my dad and destroyed my home planet, then what is too much for Thor that he would write Loki off?
No, but I feel like the whole situation, they explained the whole situation of the rock thing.
Ragnarok.
They explained the whole situation of that by saying, like, it is prophecy, as in it's going to happen anyway. Like, it has to happen. Like, this is part of the destiny of Asgard, etc. So I felt like that then took some of the responsibility off Loki, because it's like, this is just destiny happening.
Yeah, but that's not a good excuse to be okay with this one guy causing the death and destruction that he did.
He's lovely though, isn't he? He's a lovely character.
I don't get it.
I
get it with Chris Hemsworth, because it turns out he's funny as well.
Oh, yeah. And he looks good with short hair as well. It's like, what can you do, Chris? Yeah. What can you do? What was your favourite bit of the film?
Favourite bits? So there were, like I was saying, there was a couple of images, I guess you would call them. Like, if you could just freeze frame the film, there were a couple of points where it was like, wow. But yeah, there's some really good imagery in there. But I think probably my favourite stuff in the film was Korg.
I think I like the Thor films the best out of all of the films. Those films.
Really?
Yeah, I think I do.
You don't remember the second one?
Well, yeah, I mean, that's just because I don't remember anything. That's not, like, specific to that film.
Yeah.
That's just my brain.
Well, I'm Captain America till I die. Winter Soldier
is boring.
The best. He's not boring.
Chris Evans is nice. Like, he's like a good actor.
He is everybody's true north. He is the moral compass for the whole Marvel Cinematic Universe.
Like, watch a film about moral compass. It's like, oh my gosh.
I do. He's a good role model.
Anyway, role model.
On that note, go see Thor Ragnarok, because we both really enjoyed it.
How many
Mjolnirs?
What are they?
The hammer.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Yeah, how many Mjolnirs out of five would you give it?
Well, how do you say it?
Mjolnir.
Mjolnir?
Yeah.
Mjolnir. Okay. I would give it out of five.
Yeah.
Oh, like totally five.
Yeah.
If not more. Yeah.
I'd give it four.
Yeah. Oh, what's the one? What's the one Mjolnir?
The only I suppose it's kid friendly, and in that sense, it's like, it's quite light. And a bit fluffy, I guess. Like, it's not gonna, I don't think it's gonna stick with me or anything, but I had just a blast at the cinema watching this.
Yeah, it was fabulous. It was so much fun.
Yeah. You can follow us on Twitter, mash_movies. Tune in next time.
Bye.
Bye.